what do you want to be?
Yeah, I think...
When you grow up?
Yeah, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or, like, if you could have any career, what would that be? I think it's kind of an interesting topic because it's something that I'm kind of going through right now, guys, where I know that I don't want to do the career choice that I've chosen long term. I'm over it. I've grown out of it. There's no joy left in it for me, so it's time to move on. And just recently, I've been thinking about this for quite a while, so it's almost like since we started talking pretty much, right? So like 9 months, I've been seriously like talking about moving on. And the one thing I did notice is that was an incredibly daunting choice because I was giving up a relatively stable job, well-paying, pension, benefits, all the stuff that you're kind of programmed to believe is necessary to have a happy life.
Interesting that you said programmed.
I believe it's programming.
Because it's true.
That's
what I believe.
Yeah, I believe it's programming.
Yeah.
My parents are phenomenal people, but like that was something that was bestowed upon us from a very young age, where it was like you didn't have to go to post-secondary if you chose not to, but you get a good paying job, pension benefits, like, you know, they never pushed us in any direction. They just kind of were like, if you want to go to school, great. If not, like the trades are a great option. And then since, you know, my dad was working in the field that I eventually got into, like it was a natural transition for me to kind of follow in those footsteps. But the idea of me trying to come up with a career choice or something that I feel passionate about moving forward into transition out of ironwork is daunting. And I think the biggest part of that for me is that like I was like, I have to get it right. I want to make sure it's perfect. And it took me a long time to realize, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be perfect, because if it's not a good fit, the first step's the hardest. So me leaving ironwork will be the hardest, like, transition career-wise decision I'll probably ever do. So, like, after I get out of this one and I move on and I'm in a situation where it's a little bit better but it's still not quite right, it will be that much easier for me to move on to the next thing and the next thing until eventually I find where I'm meant to be. It took me a long time to figure that one out, and that has significantly helped me be more excited about the transition than feeling like it's a chore to actually, like, I feel like it for a while, it was a chore in my mind, like, what could you do, and then my job has a very interesting set of skills that don't necessarily transition well into a lot of the other fields I was looking at. So, like, there's a little bit of inferiority complex there where it's kind of like, will you be good enough at whatever you choose to do to actually pursue that as a career choice? Like, you're coming in handicapped to people that have been potentially, you know, in a business field, for example, their entire careers.
Okay, but, all right. So, I guess a way of finding out what your passion is, and I told you, you still have that trouble, and a lot of my clients have that trouble of when I say, if money wasn't an like if you didn't have to keep calculating, what would you do? And the sad part is people still don't know.
And that's my thing. I have no idea.
And like I can tell you, like I could tell you, like I guess maybe when I was 10, 12, like I knew kind of like what I wanted to do, not specifically, but you know, when you're
pointing
dreaming
right
about
direction.
Like I just, and clearly it's always been sort of around, I guess, counseling and teaching. I think it's just been those two things. But then I have like this passion for business, so it's.
I had the conversation with my roommate, and he is a high school teacher, and due to COVID, he did a lot of home classes and stuff like that, and I was kind of privileged enough to be in the house and overhear some of it, and he's a phenomenal teacher. And I remember telling him, like, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Like, you're on the money, like, you're engaging, you're fun, you know, you criticize or critique in a very healthy, constructive way. So, like, he doesn't rip down ideas. He just goes, okay, that's a phenomenal idea, but like, here's a couple of holes in it, so like, let's shore that up over here. And he's very good at his job, and you can tell he's incredibly passionate about it. And I remember asking him, like, how did you come up with this? How did you think that this was going to be a good fit for you? And he was like, honestly, man, he's like, I was in high school, and he's like, and I coached a rugby team. And he's like, and I got to watch, like, the growth and development and help guide, you know, the younger players. And he's like, that's when it dawned on me. He's like, I want to be a teacher. And he's like, and I just went for it. And, like, couldn't pick a better person more suited for their job. Like, he's exceptional. So some people hit the nail on the head really quick. And I think there's a lot of us out there that kind of wander before we...
Well, I think there's a lot of things, though, too. Sometimes education, and this is going to sound ironic considering the path I'm going, but like, I think sometimes education gets in the way, or people don't have, it's too daunting when it's like a long-term plan,
mm-hmm.
right? So like, okay, I know, like even with my son, so there's a long-term plan, and there's a lot of steps on this long-term plan that you have to pass. It's like level up, another level, accomplish this level, but you know, there's 20 other levels. And so for some people, that's hard to do like a 5-year plan. They like more short-term goals.
Oh, I agree.
And so, and then of course, life gets in the way, right? Like we were just talking about that last time. Like, yeah, that's great that, yeah, fortunately for your friend, he was able to, like, this is my path, and I'm able to accomplish it, and I'm doing what I'm doing. But there's times in life where, well, this was my path, and then God had other plans, or the universe, or whatever you want to say, and then I'm like, okay, well, now this is my path. But what skills did I learn along that other path that I can now go kind of, like, bear back? Or on a new path.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a new path just with, like, you know, colliding intersections. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, you're able to pick up all the skills and life lessons that life has graced you with while still moving towards whatever the goal may be.
And but then there's the thing. So maybe I had this goal. Like, yeah, if I stayed on that career path, if I was able to stay on that career path, you know, of course I'd probably still be working with the same company. I would maybe be a director at this point or whatever. Who knows? Because that would have been just the natural progression at that job. However, okay, so now life throws a curveball. You can't do that job. Now what? And I think maybe that's where this issue is. So I guess this is a good segue of, okay, the pandemic happened to some people. So some people, they might have been in the job that they were going to stay at and retire at, and then now it doesn't exist or whatever.
I think it's a really interesting time to have this conversation because the pandemic has really uprooted a lot of stuff. So I think there's unprecedented career diversions or changes going on inside of Canada and like all of North America. Globally, let's say. So it's really interesting to see like where people are heading, and like, are people that are uprooting out of an old career, are they doing massive switches into new fields, or are they potentially finding similar jobs or whatever it may be? I think it's probably pretty evenly split on both sides. I'm sure there's some anybody in like the service industries, if you know. For a long time, they were just annihilated. So I'm sure they found completely different lines of work, hopefully. But it's a really interesting kind of divide where it's like, do you just stick with what you know? Or do you just, you know, say screw it and go all in on something different?
Well, it's sort of like, I don't know, we were talking about that off this, but okay, if you are trying, if you think this is your path and you're constantly, you know, there's like a no, like you're getting rejected, which we call redirected. It's not a rejection,
yeah.
It's a redirection. Of then why not just say, okay, you know, they always, okay, there's that meme, or not meme, it's like just, it's very valid advice of you either go after your dream or you help someone build theirs.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's really your two choices in
yeah.
this life. And there's nothing wrong with either choice. But then you have to think, okay, if you have a dream, you have to invest in yourself and you have to wholeheartedly believe in that dream.
Yeah.
And you can't, there's no, like, you can't say, okay, well, I'll do this and then I'll do it part-time. I'll do this. Because the time is, I guess, I'm kind of talking to myself now. The time is, it's never coming back.
Well, I'm also a firm believer, at least for me anyway, that procrastination is, like, contagious.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the more I procrastinate, the more likely I'm just going to continuously procrastinate. If I get up early in the morning and I start my day effectively and quickly, I'm very productive throughout the day. If I sleep in and I'm lazy and I'm, oh yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it, then like nothing ever really gets completed. It just turns into a kind of, and don't get me wrong, like sometimes those days are needed. Sometimes you just need to do nothing, relax, recharge, that's great. But for me, like, it will become spree. So like I need to get up and be productive right away because like procrastination is a killer.
Well, I think for me also too, it's like I can't be comfortable. Cause nothing, and it's true, nothing grows in your comfort zone. And I think that's why. I think if I become like, oh, I'm gonna just do this and this is just gonna cover this and I'll be comfortable and that comfort zone could last 2, 3, 4 years.
Oh, and that's like a perfect segue into part of my issue as well.
Yeah.
So like, I don't necessarily know what I want to do yet. There's a couple options that, you know, I've been weighing off and on for quite a while. My biggest issue is, like, my comfort zone, and this is probably accurate for most people, like, everybody thinks it's safe inside their comfort zone.
No.
It's not. Like, you're being lulled to sleep. So, like, the issue with the comfort zone is the more you let it, the smaller it's going to get. Eventually, like, you're not leaving the house. So, I'm probably still at my job because it's incredibly, as uncomfortable as it is, it's a very comfortable place. I know my skill set. I know I'm valued. I know I'm good at that job. So, like, as much as I despise getting up every morning and going there, there's still that part of my brain that's like, yeah, but you're so good at it. So, like, you got nothing to worry about. Just go.
Well, it's sort of like that, you know, they always say, like, that when they're saying, like, when you feel like there's, like, all these things, you know, the arrow has to be retracted before.
Yeah, drawing it back. Yeah, and that seems to be the way that I go about a lot of stuff, of, like, ignore, or, like, stuff for me tends to build to a point where, like, the, you know, final straw that broke the camel's back kind of scenario. And then it's, like, guess what? Stuff's going to change, and it's going to change quick. So it's something that I'm trying to navigate and trying to kind of pull back on it. So as much as I like the idea of, you know, a really strong transition and change, I want to be able to accept that and move forward with it without getting to the levels of stress that cause me to go that aggressively towards it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be proactive with the change and be able to be like, okay, I can see that this is becoming a problem. I can see that this, you know, job is no longer suiting me mentally, especially mentally. It's just draining mentally. I just don't want to be there, so it makes my days very difficult. I'm sure a lot of people have that feeling at work, but I'd much rather be doing something that I actually enjoy, and then I have energy when I get home, and like it
so
just
I think you
spirals
could do
into every aspect of life.
That MBA thing that keeps coming back, which I try to apply to every portion of my life, the cost benefit analysis.
Literally.
For everything.
Mm-hmm.
You do it for everything and then it can't steer you wrong. So like, yeah. So, A, okay, do I want a corporate salary? Obviously, everybody wants a corporate salary. But a corporate salary becomes where you are now on, like, your whole life is
like,
work.
Yeah, that's Hello, Sell Your Soul.
And then, right, and then, oh, because they allow me to take 3 or 4 weeks vacation, but when can you take it? When are you really off work?
Mm-hmm.
And, or do you want to do the cost benefit of, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to earn, oh, on paper anyways, because we all know that that's not really what you're really taking home. So on paper, do I want to, for myself, earn $50,000? And that is my take home. That's $50,000, right? And I'm doing something that I enjoy. I'm so good at, so it's not like work to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever I'm talking about education, or even like if I'm helping somebody, like when I'm counseling, I feel invigorated because I feel like we're working towards something, and
yeah,
this person's gonna come out better, and I'm learning from this person too. And
well, I think it's from like my experience anyway, it would be, you know, you really appreciate that like personal growth journey. And for you, it's really rewarding to
yeah.
be there and watch
like,
the,
oh my gosh.
You know, watch the journey unfold and like help guide that person. So
it doesn't feel like work to me
no,
at all.
Definitely not. Whereas mine is literally like, here's a 12-pound sledgehammer, swing it as hard as you can for as long as you can, and then go
right
home.
Right out your back.
Yeah.
And then
so,
do all the stuff. Like, you should probably calculate, even though I know you have benefits, but you should probably calculate what you have to do emotionally, physically, and mentally, and financially, because you
I had a couple of years where I was well over like a $5,000 mark when it came to chiropractor, massage, those kind of things. And it wasn't even necessarily because I was in dire pain. It was because I was like, I need to start doing, if I'm going to do this long term, I need to do the maintenance now so that I have some form of retirement that is enjoyable. So that's where that's not necessarily a mindset you want to be at when you're in your mid-20s, where it's like, well, I better start doing that, you know, all the crazy maintenance now. And I mean, don't get me wrong, go do your massages, go do whatever you want, be healthy. But when you're doing that specifically so that you're hoping that when you're 60 and you retire that, like, you can actually have some quality of life left, it's not necessarily a good place to be. And the interesting thing is I started at 17, and when I started, there's a lot of guys that were around my age now. They were like their early, like late 20s to like mid 30s. And I've seen what 10 years have done to them. And like, they're not the same people. Like, they're annihilated. Their bodies are giving out. They're sore. They're tired. You can see it in their face. They look a lot older than they are. It's a lot of, and you know, there's nothing wrong with hard days worth of work. But when you're working as hard as you do every single day, it's 40 degrees out, doesn't matter, you still give 110%, where's my quality of life when I get home? It's non-existent. I'm exhausted, I'm in bed by 7 o'clock, I'm up at 4. And, you know, a lot of people do these things on a daily basis and it doesn't seem to bother them. And like, all the power to you, like, keep going.
I know, but it would be interesting.
But for me, I'm at the point where I look at it and I just start scratching my head. I'm like, the puzzle doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't add up. And I have the conversation with my partner all the time where it's like, it's not just the hard days worth of work. It's the quality of life and the quality of time I have with her outside of work is severely diminished because I'm exhausted or, you know, my back's sore or whatever it may be, right? And that's where I'm just kind of like, okay, well, there's, you know, you can live to work or you can work to live. So I'd much rather, you know, get a job where my bills are paid.
I just
want
to work to live.
Yeah. I'm just, for a long time, I was like, I need to make as much money as possible.
Yeah.
I need to get ahead. And like, honestly, if anything in the last 10 years has taught me, as somebody who did not get in the housing market, like, I'm probably, like, you're chasing a pipe dream. I'm sorry. The more money you make, the more money you're going to spend. You're probably going to be in the same boat regardless, unless you're quite frugal and diligent. Realistically, human beings adapt. So if you take a salary, you know, decrease or whatever that may be, and you find something that's more rewarding, or maybe not even more rewarding, but you're in a better mood outside of work and at work, like, that's a small win too.
But I find it's kind of, I don't know. Find that we had the pandemic, and if, let's just say, it did derail your plans in terms of this was my career and now it's not, wouldn't it be the best time to kind of like find out what it is?
Yeah.
And go and do it. Like, you have really nothing to lose at that point.
No.
But a lot of people
no.
were just like, okay, I'll just get another job. I'll just get another job. I'll just get another. Okay, but
I know
some of these jobs were not pandemic proof.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that got, like, they just waited. They waited for the company that they were working for. And, I mean, they might have loved their job. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But they might have just waited. And all the power to you if that's what you felt was right for you. But on the flip side, like,
yeah, like,
you
I'm
can still expand
yourself.
Yeah,
like, I'm
not
sitting here going, why are you doing this? That's not what it is at all.
It's
just sort of like...
prime time if you
yeah,
want to take the
if
opportunity.
You wanted to, if you wanted to explore and figure out, hey, what am I supposed to be doing? This was the perfect time.
Yeah. And that's, you know, my partner, she told me, because I told her there's a career path that I could take probably relatively easily. It's in the same line of work I do, just a significantly less strenuous like avenue within the trade. And it would involve us moving towards like King Carton area. So it's much more of like a maintenance job versus like full blown steel erection. And she's like, well, like, are you going to sell your soul to take more or less like a corporate job? She's like, you're going to be doing the same thing you don't like. Sure, you're going to have a little bit more energy, but she's like, your day is going to be long. You're going to be bored. And she's like, we both know that the only reason you still do your job is because you think you guys are the best, and it's half your ego. And I looked at her, I was like, whoa. I'm like, ego? And she's like, yeah. She's like, you think you guys are that good? She's like, so it's an ego trip. And I'm like, oh, that's a really interesting point of view. I'm like, I started thinking about it. I'm like, we are pretty good. And I'm like, oh, no, yeah, you're right. There is definitely a little bit of ego there. And it's like, when you're arguably at the top of your game, do you walk away? And it took me a second to think about it. And I'm like, well, I'd much rather go start at the bottom somewhere else if it means I'm going to have a meaningful day than be at the top of my game doing something that drives me crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really simple way to look at it, and like,
well,
I still haven't
maybe.
Made the transition, but like, it's interesting where like all the little things kind of just, oh, there it is, oh, there it is, oh, that's one more thing, oh, that's one more thing, and it gets to a point where it's like, we have to do something.
Well, I think that's why it goes back to that same thing. If you're comfortable, you'll just keep doing it, because it's,
oh, absolutely.
A lot of people just get stuck in the comfort zone.
Yep.
It's comfortable, it's what I know. But nothing grows there. So,
yeah,
same type of
grow.
Thing. Keep doing what you're doing and keep getting what you do. You have to literally, I've been in several times, and I don't know why I don't learn from my own. I have great advice for other people. But nothing grows. Like, I literally have to be uncomfortable for things to start where I'm like, okay,
oh, absolutely.
I'm going to do this, I'm going to
yep.
do this. And then I start taking action. And that's when you know you're in your creative. So, like, lately I've been putting off, like, this purging. I know I have to do it. It has to get done. I'm the only one that – nobody can help me. Like, literally no one can help me. And I've been just whizzing through it, just getting – like, I don't think about it. I just do. I don't think about what I'm doing or what it's causing or, you know, I just kind of, like, go in and get it done. And which means I know, like, obviously, that means something big is going to happen because I'm actually doing it.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you're hitting kind of like a flow state while doing it too, where it's just effective and mindless, right?
Yeah,
that's
like, I'm just like, okay,
realistically,
this has to get
like,
done.
That's the goal. Like, if you want to hit that state of flow in any form of work, like, that is production goldmine. Whatever it may be, personal life, work life, whatever it may be. And it's very difficult for a lot of people to get there.
Well, because you get stuck. So, like, Which is the same thing that we were talking about of if you know what you're going to do and then you, the goal is so big, like you're like,
yeah.
Oh my God. And then so you don't do anything because it's too,
oh
you
yeah,
know.
Absolutely.
So that's what was happening. So like the purging is 20 years of purging. So like I haven't done anything since, like I haven't done, like even when my dad passed, I kind of like, mind you, he died in Trinidad, but like, you know, you just, there's stuff that I haven't even touched. So when my mom came to live with me full time, she came with a few things, like important things. But like, I just kind of like, okay, well that's going in a tote. I'm never looking at that right now. I'll look at it at a sometime. So I'm triggering a lot because then there's my mom's stuff, my dad's stuff. And so like, okay, but it is what it is, right? Like, when am I going to do it? And I definitely, like, God forbid, you know, you're not promised. I could die tomorrow and then my son has to do this. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. He'd be like, what in the hell is this? So, but it is. It's just like, it's so rewarding just to dump things or just donate
oh, yeah.
things,
yep.
which is what I'm doing. I'm not even like, oh, people are like, you could sell it on Marketplace. I don't have the energy to sell this on Marketplace. Because that means it's just going to stay here.
Yeah.
Until somebody wants it. No.
Yeah.
It's just getting
donated
or in the garbage.
Yep.
Or recycled. I'm not doing that.
I found your point about like a goal being so large and overwhelming.
Yeah. And then you don't want to do anything.
I think that's definitely one point. I think another point, and this is one that I've definitely been victim to, is like goal fixation.
Yeah.
Where like I'm so fixated on getting to that end target that like I'm unable to be fluid with how I approach that goal because I was like, you know, here's the starting point, here's the destination, draw a straight line and go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like life's like, whoa, this doesn't work like this. Like we're gonna try and teach you some stuff. You're gonna have to take some time, you know what I mean? Here's a slight redirect. And, you know, for a long time, I was like, no, none of that. No, goal is right there. I'm walking straight towards it. And, I mean, it's a great mindset to have without having the blinders on. Like, you really need to take the blinders off and, you know, be perceptive of what's going on around you. Because I missed out on a lot of really great opportunities because I was like, no, my goal was like, I'm not going to buy a house until I'm 25. I had all the money I wanted when I was 23, 22, could have easily bought a house and affordable prices. And I didn't because I was like, no, my goal said 25. I want to do 25. And you know, there's a part of me that was like, oh, you weren't emotionally mature enough at that age. I wasn't ready, blah, blah, blah. But realistically, a lot of it has to be that I was so fixated on reaching the goal that I didn't take a step back and realize what was happening. And I think that's definitely an issue.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people do. Like, so I'm, you know, I think I get caught up in that same type of thing. Like, the goal's too big, and then I do nothing because it's too big. But then I can redirect, and I go, okay, got to get back on it, whatever. I said, you know, I have to finish it. I started. Like, I'm never going to abandon ship. So I have one of those things of I will never, like, not finish something. I have to finish it. It might take me longer, but I'll finish it.
Yeah, that's...
And then I said it actually to my neighbor today, like, where, you know, she was cleaning out her garage, and she's like, oh, there's always something. I go, right, exactly. So you have to have that in mind. It'll never get done. You'll never finish everything that you need to get done.
Yep.
So that is another way of making you not get overwhelmed, of... It's never all going to get done. You will never, your house is never going to be fully cleaned. You know, your garage is always going to need cleaning.
I like your little hack instead of a to-do list. You do like the
what
know,
I have accomplished today.
List or what
right.
you've accomplished or whatever.
Because I told you it was like a conveyor belt.
Well, it's a really subtle, easy flip of mindset. So instead of being discouraged because, you know, oh, I didn't get everything I wanted to get done.
Today.
Oh my, I didn't get anything done. You're able to look at it and be like, proud of yourself. And be like, well, look at everything I accomplished.
Well, you know what you could put on there if you didn't get anything done? I rested. And my body needed rest today.
Yeah.
Because it told me.
No, it's a great, and I think that's something that I've been learning a lot lately through you and our friend Megan and my partner.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with like straight up mindset and how you approach situations. So the ability to, you know, stop, process, change the narrative slightly, like mentally, words make a big difference, at least for me anyway. So like my train of thought, if it starts to stray a little bit negative, like it will go negative really quick. If I can catch it when it's on the edge of being negative and start just pumping myself full of positivity, like I'm able to switch the narrative of the day. Before I couldn't do that, I would just spiral. So like little things that I'm kind of picking up on for myself anyway, like if I can start to kind of switch into that more positive realm, it makes a big difference for me. It's like we said, I'm starting to learn how to catch the rabbit hole before I actually go down it. And, you know, it's not like everything's all fine and mighty.
No, like
everything's
it's
all
it's
rainbows.
Work. It's work.
It's serious work, and it takes effort. And it's, I just am starting to have the skill set to be able to recognize when, like, I'm like, hey, gotta get out the good old tool belt. We gotta go to work. We gotta figure some stuff out.
It's funny because you know how they always say, oh, just say positive affirmations. And you're like, really? But it's actually, I don't think it's just saying positive affirmations. I think it's believing the positive affirmations.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Like, so, and it doesn't have to be this long, because, like, you know, there's, like, these long, convoluted, I can't even remember them. So it's like, well, I'm not going to say that every day. I don't even remember what it is. I have to keep looking. What is it again? It's something that you can say, like a mantra, right? Like, you find
yeah.
your own mantra, and you say it to the point you believe it. And it, I don't know, you probably, somebody told me to watch this, so I did watch it. Tina Turner had, like, some, she had a documentary. I can't remember what it was on, if it was on Netflix or Prime. I can't remember. But what I got out of it, because Tina Turner had, like, a rough start with Ike Turner. She was
mm-hmm.
abused, and, you know, she just had a rough life, which is usually all success stories. They don't come, well, I had a great life, and then
yeah.
I just became a success.
I
the
feel
end.
Like brilliance and, like, torture go hand in hand.
Yeah,
bit, especially when it comes
like,
to artists.
This is what happened. I, yeah, so, anyway, so, her... She said, somebody had, I think part of the documentary, it was sort of like, how did she eventually leave Ike, right? And she said, she wasn't a Buddhist, but somebody gave her this mantra, this Buddhist mantra, whatever, there, you can Google it, and I did, and it, like, it's not for me, like, because I can't remember it, but basically, it goes back to, find something where you can meditate yourself, like you
mm-hmm.
can say it over and over and over and over till you believe it, and that's eventually you become it. So that's I think the takeaway today is start, because it all goes back to meditation, it all goes back to quieting your mind.
Well, it's interesting because like I agree completely. I think that's a huge skill to have, and like my younger brother, I've been trying to get him to meditate for forever, and he finally started off and on for a little bit. He was doing a very similar, like, basic form of meditation like I was doing, which works really well for me, and he was having a little bit of success. But I remember a little while ago he came to work, and he said he switched to, like, a mantra-based
yeah.
Meditation, and he said it made a massive difference for him. So... You know, there's a bunch of different recipes. You just gotta kind of find the one you like.
Well, like, I think, of course, well, the Buddhists are onto something, but, like, they have been for thousands of years.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's because it's the repetition, and then you have to concentrate, because it's like a song, right?
Well, I think there's...
It's like tantric, right?
I believe there's a chapter in this in one of Jordan Peterson's books. But it's one of those things where it's like, if you believe you're a piece of crap,
yep.
you're going to be a piece of crap.
And you're going to attract it.
Yeah, and you're going to attract it. If you believe that you're, you know, a god, don't necessarily want to get a god complex going on, but, like, that's what's going to happen. Like, you're eventually, like, what you believe yourself to be at a core, like, that's going to be a very accurate reflection of how you actually move through the world.
I also saw, which is, like, same type of thing, I also saw, this is the hard part. So remember, we said, part of evolving and enlightenment, if you want to put.
I honestly just refer to it as leveling up.
Yeah, leveling up is you have to unlearn.
Oh, you got to rewire.
So we were taught, like, especially women, and I'm going to speak for myself in this, in my culture, is that you're submissive, you don't speak, you don't talk back. You know, like, if you're brought up in a strict household, there's, like, a lot of rules of engagement. And then, all of a sudden, as an adult, you're supposed to be assertive and confident.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't raised like that. You weren't raised with confidence. You were raised with know your place, speak when you're spoken to, you know, don't assert yourself, don't even pick up for yourself, don't represent yourself.
I think there's a reason why there's a very large percentage of single, like, only child.
Yeah.
That become narcissists.
Yeah.
And it's because both parents worship the child, which is,
yep,
like, all
they
the power
to
you. Like,
pedestal.
But a
yeah.
little bit of a pedestal. And then, like, next thing you know, like, that's what they've come to expect from the world. But they believe it to a core that they're better than everybody else,
yes.
right? And that, I think that goes a long way, and that's something that I'm starting to really dive into a little bit more, where it's like, if you believe you're worthless, you're going to be worthless. If you look at yourself in the mirror every day, and, you know, you believe that you're a great person, you have skills, you know, you, whatever it may be, whatever you're struggling with, you can look yourself in the mirror every day, and you can actually start to believe it, you're going to see massive changes in your life.
Yeah.
And I think it goes, yeah, it goes a long, long way. It goes a long way.
And then, you know, you have to, another thing, you have to ensure that you're not beating yourself up for what you didn't know.
Absolutely.
Because that's, I sometimes do that myself, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go, like, oh my God, why were you so stupid? Like, why did you do that? Like, oh my God, you wasted so much time. But you can't look back. It's done.
No, it's done.
You didn't know, you only found out because you went through it.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, again, and we're talking about just, you know, slightly tweaking some words in a sentence. So, like, instead of being like, oh my God, I can't believe it took you that long to figure it out.
Just
it's
go,
just
wow.
Like, wow. Like,
you figured it out.
That was a journey. You know what I mean? Figured it out now. I'm better because of it. So, like, and that's one of the things that, like, kind of helped me when I was really starting
better,
to
not
through.
Bitter. Better,
oh,
not bitter.
That's good. I like that. was literally, like, my idea was, like, or your idea, really, was, like, just a little bit better every day, right?
That's
so,
right.
So instead of looking at it like, you know, you're at a zero and you want to make it to 100 and you want to do it in 2 days, it's not going to work. Like, you know, let's go to, like, 0.1. Like, it doesn't matter. Just try.
Right? Like,
just actually try to be a little bit better than
you.
You
think of all those people that you, okay, because everyone's success is different. So I'm not going to
mm-hmm.
say the successful people, because successful could be, like, for me, wow, that person's so positive and happy. That's what I want to be. Not monetarily.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be, like, that positive where it's just a joy to be around. It's so contagious, right? Like, you want to be around that person.
Oh, it's like an infectious energy, yeah.
But 99%, I'm sure that person went through something, pulled themselves out, and this just tries every day. Like,
oh, yeah.
People just have this misconception that, of course, because, you know, you'll hear, of course you'll feel that way because look at your life. Like,
mm-hmm.
I would feel that way too. So that's just a negative person.
I think the people that are, you know, incredibly happy every day, you know, all the power to them, like, good for them. And, like, that takes a lot of work. And
it's a choice.
It's a choice they make every day to approach life with positivity and with growth.
You wake up, and the first thing you should be is grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I get to see another day.
Yep.
Good, bad, or indifferent, I get to see another day. That's another gift. You got a gift. And then the second thing is, what are you going to do with that day? You're going to set a mindset. So, okay, today it's going to be a great day. Just set that mindset. It's going to be a great day. Even if you know, like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. Don't think about what you have to do. Just go, it's going to be such a great day. It's going to even be better than yesterday. And yesterday was pretty good. So I think it's just what you tell yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely goes a long, long way. Long way.
And then every disappointment, like, we've said that too, because, like, okay, yeah, that's all well and great, but...
Well, I think the people that are, you know, incredibly bubbly, or people that are, you know, very good at dealing with stress and stuff like that, or traumas, like, these are people that have gone through some really dark times, and they've been able to pull themselves out of it. So it's one of the things that, like, I like to think about now is, you know, even if I have a really bad day, I still have significantly more skills, and I'm much better equipped to handle that bad day now than I was before therapy.
There you go.
So, and that's one thing that I look at where, like, you know, sometimes you can get down on yourself and be like, oh my God, I thought I was past this. I thought I was past all this negativity. I thought, you know, I was starting to believe in myself a little bit more. And like, hey man, everybody's human. You're going to have off days. But like, you're going to have the skills, or you're going to start learning skills to be able to process that day better and realize that, like, hey man.
Instead, like, I think it's the same thing we're just talking about. Exactly. I think it's the, like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm done with this day.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just like, I'm going to wash off the day. I'm jumping
yeah.
in that shower. I'm going to scrub the day off. And it's
yeah.
going to go down the drain.
I can get
yeah.
violent in a shower.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay,
ooh,
three layers
yeah,
of skin.
Yeah,
like, let's go.
Yeah, we're doing this. And then I literally want to go to my bed. And just because tomorrow's
yeah.
going to be a better day. And
yeah.
I'm done with this day. And
reset.
That's fine. You can be done with the
oh,
day.
Oh, that's totally fine.
And we need to just start tweaking. Instead of like, what's the worst thing? What's the best that can happen? Instead of, we're always worst case scenario. No, what's the best case scenario?
Yep.
Because chances are, if you're thinking worst case, that's gonna happen.
Well, like, the interesting part is, like, my life journey so far is like has been very like straight pessimist, negative attitude, and like always worst case scenario. And like, I've experienced the worst case scenario once. And it honestly, it probably wasn't even the worst case scenario. It was just the worst case scenario that like I could manifest. So, like, the likelihood of the worst-case scenario ever actually hitting is very, very slim. It's very slim. But if you're constantly, actively trying to manifest it, okay, it might grow a little bit. But the problem is if you're in that mindset, like, you're going to find that worst-case scenario, right? So, like, you're going to find something wrong with a perfectly okay situation because you know something needs to be wrong. You're going to go looking for it. And, like, it's just going to help spiral you down into a negative state of mind. Whereas if you're in a positive state of mind and it's much more like, okay, like, what's the best case scenario? Or, like, that sounds really fun. Let's go do that. You're going to start attracting that a lot more. You're going to start finding, you know, positives in smaller situations and stuff like that. Like, it's all mindset. Mindset goes a long way.
Well, it's funny that you're talking about therapy and stuff because I always find people are always... Like, they'll put money on external things, but they won't put money on internal things. You know, like, I won't fix the root cause. I'll just throw money
yeah.
on the outside cause. Like,
yeah.
what people can see.
Well, the biggest issue, it takes work, right? I mean, therapy is not inexpensive. But if you look at, okay, so, like, let's say you're incredibly unhappy and you have a spending habit, you like to buy stuff, you get a nice little serotonin kick, makes you feel great
for five seconds yeah.
makes you feel great and you're all excited waiting for your Amazon order to come in or whatever it may be, then you get it and then you're disappointed.
But you know what,
just spend that money and try to work on your, like,
but it's funny because that you say that because people don't understand that that's an addiction. And
it's
then
the same
people,
as your phone.
And yet people don't understand that it's indicative of depression.
Yeah. Literally.
When you shop, it's because you're filling a void.
Yeah.
And especially if you're like a compulsive shopper.
Well, look at your phone, right? So, like, technically every time you check your phone, you get a little hit of dopamine, you know, and that's your body saying, like, this is a good thing. We need to do more of this. Like, you get dopamine released in your brain
when
you eat
food. No, I can't stand, like, I shouldn't say it out loud, but, like, I'm really starting to dislike social media, but I know I need it for my business, but I really don't
like
it.
That's when you just grow to a point where you hire somebody to take it over.
Yeah, let's put that in the universe that,
like,
I'm so big that I need a PR
no,
person because I really,
some people
I have a disdain for it.
Some people will do it, like, I know a friend of mine that does stuff like that, and, like, it's relatively inexpensive for the most part.
Okay, so we'll
like
talk
if you're talking just
off.
Like a couple posts a week or something just to keep you relevant.
Yeah.
Like I don't think it's that crazy. But yeah, I think.
Yeah, because I honestly.
Yeah, social media for me is.
I find it extremely draining, and I don't even like going on. But I need to post content, right? Because you have to post content. And I'm not talking my personal, I'm talking about, like, obviously the business
one. Yeah.
And I just find it so draining.
I mean, my partner owns a landscaping company, and she has the same thing. She is literally like, oh.
Yeah.
She's like, do you want to make this post for me? I'm like, absolutely not. Like, that's all you. And she's like, I hate this.
Yeah.
She's like, she takes the photos of, like, a before and after of, like, the work she's completed. And she's like, I'm so proud of this photo. She's like, if I could, I would just post the two photos and be done with it. She's
yeah.
like, but she's like, I have to write a big caption,
and
explain
hashtags.
And all that stuff. And she's just like, I just don't care enough. Like, and she's, yeah, it's hilarious to watch her struggle with it. And, like, she does the bare minimum when it comes to, like, she posts, like, once every 2 weeks. Like, it's, she literally stretches it out for as long
as
she can.
Well, that's good that she can. I probably should be becoming, I should be doing more so that, you know, because unfortunately, this is the world we live in.
She's lucky enough that in the state of her business right now, she gets more client-to-client referrals than she does anybody coming in from social media.
Well, that's how it should be for me. That's how it should be.
So she gets a lot of, she'll go in, she'll do her job, and the neighbor goes, well, I really like what you did. You want to come do a quote? Or families will talk. That's kind of where she gets a lot of her business right now, which is great. She loves it. She loves it. And it keeps her relatively in the, you know, little circle that she likes to be in. So it's really good. And it allows her to kind of not do the social media as much as she probably needs to, but she's doing good, so like let everything just unfold how it's going to. But yeah, there's nothing worse than feeling obligated to be on social media, which
well,
is
yeah, it's just that like if they had a way where you didn't have to log onto your personal, where you could just log onto your business, that would be great. But Facebook has it. Well, it's all on under one. You have to have that personal account to even have a business account.
Oh, so.
So you.
Yeah,
like
Annie's
you,
got like all of hers. I don't even know if she does Facebook stuff. It's all Instagram.
Yeah, so like she still has probably a personal.
She has a personal,
right,
and a work.
But it's all
line,
connected.
And it's, I think it's two different
no,
accounts.
No, it's two different accounts.
But like, yeah,
still,
she can literally like
yeah,
just click a button
yeah,
and it switches
yeah,
back
exactly,
and forth.
Exactly.
She's. I don't even think she goes on her personal one. It's just always the work one.
Right. Instagram is a little bit easier than that, but like Facebook, you literally have to go on your icon
yeah.
and then you scroll to your page, on your phone at least.
Yeah.
Well, same thing on your desktop. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting when we desensitize ourselves.
Yeah, because I was on a hiatus for a while there, like 2.5 weeks, where I didn't even go on, and I loved it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure at the start it's probably a little like, ooh,
yeah,
what do I do?
Like,
I have so much free
like,
time, I'm bored.
Yeah, but then I got so much done. See, my purging,
yeah.
I had to present my dissertation, and that was a lot of work.
Well, I mean, like, why do people go on their phones when they're, like, okay,
boredom.
So, boredom, but why do they choose their phone? Because they're uncomfortable, because they're bored?
Well, a lot of it is they're at work.
Yeah.
So they're just wasting time. Or, yeah, they're just bored, so they're just scrolling.
Like, I find myself doing it. Like, and I don't even like social media. And if I'm, like, stuck in a line at Tim Hortons or something like that, I'm just like, instead of making eye contact with a stranger across the restaurant, I'm just going to stare at my phone for 4 minutes. Disconnect from the world. I've definitely been like dialing back on my screen time significantly, and I'm starting to notice a difference too.
Me too. I love it. I love when my phone, I could actually leave my phone in another part of the house and not care and not have like a panic attack.
I'll do like a full weekend if I'm with Annie and we're just doing stuff, and like literally like it'll be like Sunday night and I'm like, do you know where my phone is? I need to set an alarm for work. and I haven't seen my phone in 2 days. Like 2 days, just gone. Like,
but
find it under the couch somewhere.
That's the best way. If
and
you
I'm
don't
just like,
have
this
to
is
be,
great. Like,
yeah. Ever since I don't have to be attached to my phone, like because of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And well, now I'm of course Jalen, so like, okay, yeah, I'll just make sure that it's somewhere because in case he needs me. But relatively, I'm not as like hyperventilating.
Well, my mom won't even text me anymore. She just calls.
Yeah.
Because she's like, every time I text you, it takes like 3 hours to reply. I'm like, I don't know where my phone is. I'm like, you need to call it. Like, I need the ringer. I have no idea. I'm like, really? I'm just waiting for your phone call so I can find the darn
thing.
Well,
today I was like, Jalen, can you call my phone? Because I don't know where I put it. And I, like, because I didn't care. Like,
it's nice.
I put it down somewhere. I don't know. Okay. All right. So we're going to segue. And we're still, that question's still up in the air. Hopefully Sean can answer it next week.
No
Stay
pressure.
Tuned.
Yeah.
And for all those who, because we always go off topic, but what would, if money was not an issue, basically it's what is your passion?
Yeah,
what's
your
dream
job?
Which isn't, I hate to say dream job because then it infers a job, but like what, if you didn't have to worry about money, what would you be doing? That's really the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the job is sort of daunting to people. Like, job, what do you mean?
Yeah,
what's my
that's
dream
a
job?
That's a valid point.
No, what would you be doing? Because, like, see, this was easier, I guess, for our parents because they actually had hobbies.
Yeah.
Do you realize that nobody has hobbies anymore?
No, people just work.
Right, and then they either go out drinking
yeah.
or whatever, but... Ask the average person. The average person.
Well,
what's your hobby? And they'll be like, what?
Yeah. Well, look at, like, there's a massive trend away from, like, single-family homes and into, like, townhouses because, like, people don't even want to do, like, lawn maintenance anymore.
Yeah,
takes, like, too much
yeah
time.
I don't want to do lawn
maintenance. I mean, also, there's the affordability argument, too, but, yeah.
No, but it's because it's a lot of work and it's short-lived.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're technically doing all this work for a few months of enjoyment.
Yeah. And I remember, like, my dad when I was a kid cutting the lawn and
yeah.
being like, yeah, that lawn looks great. Like,
yeah.
took pride in it, right?
Like, yeah, same as my dad.
Not
like,
anymore.
It was, like, he used to do all his own landscaping and it was, like, amazing. And,
yeah.
But it's, like, yeah, until you're in shoveling season.
Yeah, literally.
And so, like, and that they said that, too. A lot of people aren't even planting. If you go around and look at gardens, nobody's doing annuals anymore.
No.
Very few people actually buy flowers.
Annie says that.
And I don't blame them.
Yep. She says she has a few diehards that are like
yeah,
annual.
They like to see
yeah, they like the color pops, but she's like, most of the time, they're just like.
Because it costs benefit.
Build me something that looks good.
And low maintenance.
That's low maintenance that I don't need to worry about.
Correct.
You can come in once a year, trim it, and
right.
we're good.
Because why? Because you're literally throwing away money.
Yep. Well, it's a flip though, right? Like some people are incredibly passionate about their garden.
But then that's different.
Then
that's their passion.
That's their passion. Spend all you want.
Right.
Like do your thing. Whatever
right.
makes you happy.
Right.
Whatever brings you peace and joy.
I have a close friend that's.
My mom is like that
yeah,
for a very long time.
She is
yeah.
like her garden is her like little hobby. She's retired and it looks amazing. But that was all of her like that was her forte. Like she should
yeah.
have a greenhouse.
Yeah.
You know, I bet you if I said. Should really have a greenhouse. She'd be like, no. But
no.
She,
yeah.
She should have a greenhouse because she just naturally loves doing this. So, but yeah, that's my whole point. What, and then why wouldn't you turn that into
a career?
Mm-hmm.
Or some form of income anyway. It would be lovely.
So, we're gonna start.
Maybe I'll get back on a skateboard and try to be a professional skateboarder at 30.
Hey, Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Don't worry. My busted up old knees are going to...
Okay, within reason.
Yeah.
Let's... Within... No, but then that's not true, too, because, you know... like I told you, I'm going to actually put that online, my life choices workshops.
I'll just put it on YouTube and be like, watch a borderline older... dude, try to skateboard.
Colonel Sanders did not sell his recipe. He didn't open Kentucky Fried Chicken until he was, what, in his 70s
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, since Oprah was, like, not overly successful until she was later.
Right, because nobody believed in his recipe. He went door to door, nobody cared.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, you know, it's your wherewithal and your, like, I don't care if you don't believe in me, I believe in me.
Yeah. Well, that's it. State of mind.
State of mind.